Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. Dr. Mohler is president of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary and one of the nation's leading theologians and cultural commentators. To get online with Dr. Mohler, call toll-free nationwide, 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Now, here's your host, Dr. Albert Mohler.
Hello, America. Welcome to the Albert Mohler Program, a development that has happened just this week. Ought to have the attention of every parent in America and everyone who's concerned about the family. A federal court judge last month in Manhattan ordered the Food and Drug Administration to reconsider a Bush administration policy on Plan B. That's the so-called morning after pill. And the FDA came out yesterday with its ruling, making very clear that it is going to allow over-the-counter sales of contraception, in this case, the Plan B contraceptive, to minors as young as 17. So 17-year-old girls are going to be able to walk into a pharmacy and buy Plan B, which, by the way, the morning after pill means it's taken after sexual activity, the morning after, within 72 hours, according to the website, after sexual activity. And this is now a matter of what is considered to be the right of every American, now 17 and older. Now, at my website at albertmohler.com, I posted today an article that I consider really important. It's entitled The Morning After Pill and the End of Parenthood. There is so much about what the FDA has done here, but the FDA, after all, was acting in response to a federal court order. Here you have a federal court judge in Manhattan who has decided that 17-year-old girls everywhere in this country, minors, I recall, are now going to have the availability of over-the-counter sales. That means no prescription, no conversation with anyone. Just go to the counter and buy this contraception. The big issue here was lowering the age by 1 year, from 18 to 17. Now, one of the things you will find in my article, again, it's at albertmohler.com. The article is posted today at 3:13 p.m., it is entitled The Morning After Pill and the End of Parenthood. One of the things I document in that article is how the New York Times, as the central media organ of the secular left, really gets to the heart of this issue by how it reports on this. It refers to 17-year-old women. And then it goes on to suggest that the Food and Drug Administration should consider lowering the age of the availability of this contraception over the counter to girls as young as 11 and 12. And as a matter of fact, it uses the expression girls of all ages. So why do I talk about the end of parenthood? It's because what really this is all about is making sure that parents have nothing to say in the matter. So that girls right now as young as 17, and by the way, the New York Times calls them women. I wonder if the FDA reclassifies this so that you can sell the over-the-counter contraception to 11 and 12-year-olds, if they're now going to become 11 and 12-year-old women as well. You see the agenda here. One of the things I deal with in my article is why this issue of reproductive control is such a central obsession of the secular left. We're going to be talking about it today on the Albert Mohler Program. If you are a parent, you had better be concerned about this. Because right now, the FDA has already announced that your 17-year-old daughter is going to be able to buy an over-the-counter contraceptive without any conversation, not only with you, but with any medical personnel. You'll find my article at albertmohler.com. You'll find links directly to the New York Times and to the Food and Drug Administration. We're going to be talking about Plan B, and we're going to be talking about why this morning after pill now is a symbol of the end of parenthood. The phone number is 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. I really am looking forward to this conversation because it's going to lay bare the issues here of the collision between the ideology of the secular left and the ideology of those who believe that parents ought to have the right, ought to be understood to possess the right inherently to make these decisions. And we're going to be talking about why now those who are pushing this obsessive push for reproductive control have to look to teenagers as the real front for the next battle. We're going to be talking about that when we come up on the Albert Mohler Program. This is the place for intelligent Christian conversation, and because this has to do with parenting and family and God's gift of reproduction and sex, this is right in the thick of where Christians have to think Christianly, and we have a special responsibility to do so when some kind of sea change like this comes along. First, to review some issues in the news, in the Wall Street Journal today, Stephen Prothero's out with one of those fascinating articles that should lead you to kind of step back and say, you know, why aren't more people talking about this? Stephen Prothero has written a lot about the problem of religious illiteracy in America. And he writes now, this article is entitled Muhammad on the High Seas. Stephen Prothero, writing in the Wall Street Journal, he suggests that the issue of piracy right now going on off the Somali coast is tied to religion in a way that the secular press really isn't giving any attention. This is what he says. The late spate of piracy off the coast of Somalia has been analyzed so far almost entirely in political and economic terms. Somalia is lawless and impoverished, so Somali men are taking world trade for a ride. Religion comes up in this analysis only in terms of fears about potential ties between Somali pirates and Islamist groups such as Al-Qaeda and Al-Shabaab. But according to Boston University's World Religion Database, the Somali population is 99% Muslim. And the last time the U.S. was menaced by piracy, in the late 18th century, the so-called Barbary pirates in North Africa also operated out of Muslim havens. For those who know something about Muhammad and the origins of Islam, more than coincidence is at work. Religion, it turns out, should be factored into the piracy problem. End quote. Now, Stephen Prothero, again, he's not writing from an evangelical Christian perspective. He's writing from the perspective of a scholar of world religion. And he's saying, look, the secular press isn't connecting the dots. What are the dots? We have a resurgence of piracy along with a resurgence of Islam. Prothero points out that historically, Muhammad, the founder of Islam, believed and used piracy, believed in the use of piracy, what were called the gazoo or bounty raids. His men would capture camels and caravan drivers, according to, again, Stephen Prothero here, and hold them for ransom, just as Somali pirates today are capturing and ransoming ships, supplies, and sailors. Now, there's a very interesting line in Stephen Prothero's article. He says, if Christians ask, what would Jesus do? Muslims ask, what would Muhammad do? And evidently, there's enough historical evidence to suggest that Muhammad would be very much involved, or at least endorsing the kind of piracy that's going on here. Now, what you have also is a very honest statement from Stephen Prothero. He says, there are, of course, ways to read the Islamic sources as antithetical to piracy. But Muhammad himself both organized and participated in the 7th century overland equivalent of high seas buccaneering that now bedevils world trade. At least some Somali pirates see their profiteering as consistent with submission to Allah. Quote, we are Muslims, one pirate told a Reuters reporter earlier this month. Quote, we are Marines, Coast Guards, not pirates. End quote. One of the interesting things that Prothero points out is that this kind of privateering, or the gazoo, according to Islamic tradition, that it was not a crime during Muhammad's time. It says that indeed there were agreed upon rules of the game. For instance, you couldn't raid during the pilgrimage to Mecca. But now this grave threat to American lives and American treasure is a reminder to us that there usually is more to the story than meets the eye. And when it comes to the fact that religion's playing a part in this, there's more than is meeting the press as well. In Maine, the argument over same-sex marriage. Well, let me just tell you, the Associated Press reports yesterday that a legislative hearing to extend same-sex marriage to Maine took on the atmosphere of a religious revival yesterday as ministers made impassioned speeches for and against the bill before thousands of cheering spectators packed into a civic arena. Now, the big issue here is the fact that the Associated Press is reporting that there were clergy on both sides of the issue. And they give some voice. They record some of what was said. The Roman Catholic bishop, Richard Malone, spoke against, of course, the issue of same-sex marriage. So also did the pastor of the First Baptist Church of West Gardner. He said, our forefathers would be ashamed that we are gathered here to discuss this horrendous issue. Do not make the decision of not voting on it and pass it back to the Maine people. It's a lame way of getting out of your responsibilities. End quote. That was David Adams making very clear he expected the legislature of Maine to uphold marriage. But you also had another group, including 120 clergy members active in what is known as the Religious Coalition for Marriage Equality. The Reverend Deborah Davis Johnson of Emmanuel Baptist Church of Portland, Maine, spoke to this. Jesus led a life of doing justice, and we are called to do the same. Now, why talk about this today? Well, just remember that what you have in terms of the distinction between red and blue states in American elections, the distinction between liberals and progressive in the larger culture, regardless of how you want to label them on any given issue, unfortunately, this is now found within American religion as well, and even with what is called institutional American Christianity. I can't define it as American Christianity if we're going to define Christianity by the gospel, but at least what is recognized institutionally as being historically connected to Christianity, we find this divide as well. Here's my prediction. Within 5 short years, I think I can say with absolute certainty in the year 2009, within 5 short years, we're going to know where every single pastor in America stands on this issue. because the times are going to demand an answer. And the answer is going to come both with what is said and with what is done on the issue of homosexuality, same-sex marriage, and all the attendant issues. You don't have to be a prophet or the son of a prophet to see this one coming. Right now in Maine, you have all the pastors required now to take up sides on this issue. There's no way to avoid it. There's no way to be AWOL from this particular issue. And for evangelical Christians committed to biblical truth, there is no way to duck that question without simultaneously ducking the authority of Scripture. It's not as if the Scripture doesn't tell us all that we need to know about how to understand that issue in moral and theological terms. We're going to come back to talk about the morning after pill and the end of parenthood on the Albert Mueller Program.
The Superior Gold Group, a precious metals firm, is proud to sponsor the Albert Mueller Program. You can get more information about buying gold at 866-432-8656.
Welcome back to the Albert Mueller Program. My article posted today is entitled The Morning After Pill and the End of Parenthood, and there is so much I want to talk about out of this because this gets right to the heart of so many of the issues that are really of direct and deep concern to us. Let's just talk about the decision. And I want to read to you what the FDA announced yesterday. Here, it's the essence of brevity, by the way, this little statement. It's about the most brief statement you're ever going to hear from a government agency. Here it is. On March 29, 2009, a federal court issued an order directing the FDA within 30 days to permit the Plan B drug sponsor to make Plan B available to women 17 and older without a prescription. The government will not appeal this decision. In accordance with the court's order and consistent with the scientific findings made in 2005 by the Center for Drug Evaluation and Research, FDA notified the manufacturer of Plan B, informing the company that it may, upon submission and approval of an appropriate application, market Plan B without a prescription to women 17 years of age and older. End quote. Well, there you've got it. You've got the essence of the language there. In the bureaucraties, what that means is the FDA is not going to disallow nor to fight what's going on here. The FDA had a policy under the Bush administration whereby it would not offer over-the-sale availability of Plan B, that is the morning-after contraception pill, to 17-year-old girls. The cutoff was 18, where one is legally an adult. But that was challenged in court by those who are pushing the obsession for birth control. And a federal court judge in Manhattan, no surprise, ruled in favor, saying that 17-year-old girls have a right. Now, you just look at all this, and there's so many questions. You just want to go to this judge and say, why 17? What's the magic number 17? I mean, first of all, adulthood, legally defined in this country, is 18. So this is a minor. Why 17? Why not 16? No, why 17? Well, obviously, this is not where this is going to end. This is a progressive kind of development where it's 17 today. It's going to be more later. You say, well, that's paranoia. No, it's not. It's right in the documentation. Because the New York Times, for instance, in the original editorial whereby it celebrated this judge's ruling, said that the next step was going to be to look at its availability to girls of all ages. There are so many issues here. The first one is the decision itself. And I just want to tell you, I think this is lamentable. It is an attack upon parental authority. Because what this is saying is that 17-year-old girls, even though the FDA statement calls them women and the New York Times repeatedly calls them women, 17-year-old girls are now going to be able to walk into wherever drugs are sold and buy the Plan B contraceptive without any kind of prescription, without any parental approval. It's really scary stuff. That's the first thing about this. That is the policy change that this news is all about. But there's more. And the more is especially in what I noted in the coverage by the New York Times. If you go all the way back to the New York Times and the editorial that came out immediately after the judge's ruling, you hear this, for instance. This is from their editorial back in March. Judge Edward R. Corman wisely ordered the Food and Drug Administration to make the pill available without prescription to women as young as 17 and to consider approving it for girls of any age. That's their language. That's a direct quote from the New York Times. As major medical groups have long advocated, end quote. That's right. Girls of any age. They're talking about over-the-counter contraception here, folks. Not talking about an aspirin pill. And by the way, you talk about the insanity of this culture. You've got children who are being told that they're carrying controlled substances and they show up with an antihistamine or an aspirin or a Tylenol or something at school. But now they're being told they can walk right in at age 17, and obviously they're going to push for younger age, they've already told us that, and get a contraceptive pill. I want to read to you more from the New York Times. In today's coverage, championing, celebrating the FDA's decision yesterday, the paper leads off with this, quote, 17-year-olds will soon be allowed to buy morning-after contraception pills without a doctor's prescription after federal drug regulators complied with a judge's order and lowered the age limit by a year, end quote. The same report from today says this, quote, like their older counterparts, 17-year-old women will now be able to go to almost any pharmacy, clinic, or hospital, and after showing proof of age, let me interject here again, age 17, buy Plan B without a prescription. Now, here's this next line is also great. Listen, men 17 and older may also buy Plan B for a partner, end quote. Okay, let's talk turkey. A 17-year-old man, first of all, I don't think so, is going to walk into a pharmacy or a clinic and be able to get Plan B for your daughter? You know, I think this is the statutory rape allowance policy of 2009. It's just incredible to me that the federal government would act in this way. You know, the very fact, and we could talk about so many aspects of this, but let me tell you, the very fact that a prescription would be needed, some kind of medical oversight would be needed, would at least put in some kind of firewall in this, because what this is really going to do is, I think, make all of these girls more vulnerable. And by the way, that leads me to another aspect of this that is just truly shocking and frightening to me. The paper says this. Contraception advocates have pushed for easy access to Plan B for girls and women of all ages, again, all ages, because the longer a woman delays in taking the medicine after unprotected sex, the more likely she will become pregnant. Eliminating doctors from the transactions, it was hoped, would lead to far fewer pregnancies and abortions. Now, note again the of all ages reference. In the March 24th editorial, the paper included this sentence, quote, the harder question is whether to remove all age and other restrictions, potentially allowing children as young as 11 or 12 to take the drug without medical supervision, end quote. You know, folks, I promise you that's in the New York Times. I'm almost begging you to go to my website, follow the link, and read that editorial so that with your own two eyes you can read America's most influential newspaper talk about allowing children as young as 11 or 12 to take a contraceptive pill without medical supervision. I guess following the logic of both the FDA and the New York Times, we should be talking about 11-year-old women here. And I guess also 11-year-old men. There's more. Here's the editorial from today, New York Times. This is not the March 24th editorial. This is today's editorial in the New York Times. Quote, in a further break from the Bush administration's ideologically driven policies on birth control, the Food and Drug Administration has agreed to let 17-year-olds get the morning after emergency contraceptive pills without a doctor's prescription. It is a wise move that complies with a recent order by a federal judge, based on voluminous evidence in FDA files that girls that young can use the pills safely, end quote. Okay, follow with me here for just a moment. Number one, they called the policy that's being reversed here the Bush administration's ideologically driven policies. Okay, here's a quick word, folks. Whenever you hear someone talk about someone else's policies as ideologically driven, here's what you better note. They themselves are ideologically driven, and that includes the man who's talking to you right now. It is absolutely intellectually dishonest. It is the essence of intellectual dishonesty to suggest that you have no ideology and someone else does. What you have here is just the fact that the editors of the New York Times prefer their own ideology to that of the Bush administration. The other thing here is it says that these girls can use the pills safely. I know that they're referring here to medical safety. What about these girls' hearts? What about other aspects of their lives? Is this morally safe, spiritually safe? You know, the big thing is, with this policy, they're safe from their parents. Give me a call at 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. We need to talk about this on the Albert Mueller Program.
You're listening to the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. To get online, call toll-free 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Or go to www.albertmohler.com. Here again is your host, Dr. Albert Mohler.
Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. I have to tell you that rarely have I seen a news story that has led me to think of so many simultaneous problems as what I saw in the New York Times this morning. And just to think about all that is embedded within the assumptions here, you're looking at two very different views of the world. I mean, let's just face it. You have a view of the world in which it is plausible that girls, quote, of all ages, end quote, should have access to an over-the-counter contraceptive. And then there's a worldview, on the other hand, in which that makes no sense at all. It's just a reminder to us that presuppositions, worldviews, moral convictions, and moral intuitions really do matter. And in this country, there is a significant divide. Now, I'll tell you right up front, I am absolutely confident that if America's parents were asked about this, they would not endorse this proposal. They would not endorse this policy. I think it is making young girls ever more vulnerable in terms of their sexuality and their integrity and their purity, and just in terms of their vulnerability in a world that is so increasingly secular, sexualized as well. But I think also it's a real assault upon the entire assumption of sexuality. I think the name of this pharmaceutical really gets at it. It is Plan B. Okay, that implies there was a Plan A. What was Plan A? Well, you can be sure that those who are pushing this kind of agenda mean by Plan A using birth control. It doesn't mean not having sex. Let's go to Michael calling from Branson, Colorado, listening on KGFT. What do you think, Michael?
Hey, this doesn't really, I mean, considering that this administration has been pro all the time, it's the same department, the organization, Department of Homeland.
And Michael, I'm sorry, we're losing you on a cell phone. That's one of the hazards of using a cell phone on talk radio, but I'm glad to hear from you. Yes, it is tied to abortion. The logic is tied to abortion. And in my article that I published today at albertmohler.com, I point out why. I begin that article by suggesting that to the left, birth control is central to the modern project of liberation. Pregnancy and parenthood limit other endeavors, to say the very least. The project of liberating sex from marriage and sex within marriage from reproduction is central to the modern quest for autonomy. The pill allowed a radical expansion in non-marital sex, now freed from concern about pregnancy. For the feminist movement, support for birth control and abortion on demand is rooted in the explicit desire to, quote, level the playing field, end quote, with men. So you might say abortion is maybe Plan C in this sequence? Thanks for your call. Let's go to Crystal calling from Prospect, Kentucky, listening on WFIA. Go ahead, Crystal.
Well, I just wanted to say that it opens the doors for parents to be absent out of the child's life. And also, if you give the 17-year-olds access to this Plan B pill, they're easily going to be able to give it to their friends who are younger than them. I totally disagree with this.
Thank you, Crystal. And I appreciate that point. It's one of the points that needs to be raised. I mean, here you're basically saying that minors can buy this drug for other minors. And because they're to be able to walk in. Over-the-counter means over-the-counter, folks. I mean, over-the-counter means like aspirin or Tylenol. And I think most parents in America are going to be incredibly shocked to know of this development. And Crystal points out yet another angle in this story. Let's go to Lindsay, calling from Louisville, Kentucky. Go ahead, Lindsay.
Yes, I just wanted to say that I'm 25 years old, and I had a drugstore deny selling me allergy medicine that's over-the-counter because it was for my husband and not for me. And I just find it appalling that a 17-year-old could go and get a contraceptive over-the-counter, no questions asked. Even in this case, men or boys could do this and get it for somebody else, even though I had trouble with something, you know, like allergy medicine, and they're worried about young children with cough medicine and abusing cough medicine, so they have it, you know, back in the pharmacy, but they'll let them get birth control.
You know, that is such a good point, Lindsay. And, you know, it reminds me of another parallel illustration that ties together all that we're talking about here. You're exactly right. Now they can walk in and get the contraceptive over the counter, but they're not going to be able to get any number of other things that would be far more justified over the counter. The same way, if you have, for instance, a young girl who wants an abortion, she can get the abortion without a parent's knowledge in most states right now. and with the feminist movement and pro-abortion movement insisting she be able to do that without a parent's knowledge. But, you know, she can't even be given drugs at school, aspirin or Tylenol, without a parental permission. They can't even examine her to consider whether she needs to have her tonsils out without a parent's permission. But she can have a right to kill the baby within her, or to be the object of someone else's agenda to kill the baby within her, and parents cut out of the equation. You know, that just shows the irrationality of this. And that goes back to the fact that the New York Times says this policy reverses the Bush administration's ideologically driven policy. Well, this is their ideology. They like their ideology better. Is that a surprise? Give me a call, 877-893-8255 on the Albert Mueller Program.
The Superior Gold Group, a precious metals firm, is proud to sponsor the Albert Mueller Program. You can get more information about buying gold at 866-432-8656.
Welcome back to the Albert Mueller Program. There is another angle to this altogether, and that is how Plan B works. Fed folks, ask me. If you go to the website for the pharmaceutical manufacturer, it says it works like other contraceptives, by offering a double dose after sexual activity. However, the FDA's website also points out that it is potentially an abortive fashion. That is, it potentially works by preventing the successful implantation of the fertilized egg within the womb, the uterine wall. So there are many grounds for objection to this, and the pro-life argument being central to that. But even if Plan B were a true contraceptive preventing the fertilization of the egg, it would still be so problematic just in terms of parental rights and the whole expectation of teenage sexuality here. Let's go to Carrie, listening on KBGFT. Go ahead, Carrie.
Hi, Dr. Mueller. I wanted to say real quickly that I have a 17-year-old daughter who, without our knowledge, got an adult. We still don't know who to purchase that pill for her, and fortunately it did not work. And praise God, we have a beautiful grandson that's just the light of her life right now. My thoughts are, this gives no time for thought, no time for contemplation. This requires immediate action, number one. So there's no time for anyone for even the child or the daughter to think through this action. Number two, this is a pharmaceutical. My daughter was given a pharmaceutical without my permission, and I don't know how much study has been done on this. Seriously, I don't know if in a few years it may be recalled. I don't know what the side effects are. She was given a drug, and I was just livid. And I wouldn't expect any other adult to medicate my daughter in any other way without my permission. And we don't really know what the side effects of the long term of this pill are.
Carrie, I really appreciate your call. Let me just ask you a direct question here. I really appreciate your candor. It's extremely helpful to us. The Food and Drug Administration made the cutoff today at 17 in light of this order, but there are clear calls for this to be available to girls of any age. Just a quote from the New York Times editorial, girls, quote, of all ages. As a mother, doesn't that sound just absolutely frightening to you?
It makes me livid. It makes me livid. It's an attempt to usurp our parental rights, and that's all there is to it. And those rights are God-given. And I won't have them taken away. You know, it just makes me so angry that something this drastic and this harmful could be done without my knowledge to my child.
I agree with you, Carrie. Thank you so much for your call. That was a really helpful call, and I appreciate your gift to us of sharing from your own family's experience. Let's go to Orlando, Florida. Beverly's on the line. Go ahead, Beverly.
Hi.
Go right ahead.
Oh, sorry. Thanks for having me on. You know, the two comments that I think of that concern me a lot is I feel like this is just a disguise to mask the number of abortions. And, you know, that's what it basically is an abortion, but they won't be able to track it medically. And so it's going to make, you know, the abortion numbers look like they're less when it's a disguise. They really haven't changed. And my other thing that concerns me is I think that if we're going to look down the road, we need to look at the schools. And we should not be we should not be surprised when these show up in the schools and they're handed out for free. These are going to turn into a social program, and our taxes are going to pay that girls will be able to go because they won't be able to afford it and get these pills for free in the schools.
Beverly, you know, some people are going to be shocked by what you say, but what you said is absolutely right. You know, the next stage in this is, of course, the school-based sex clinics. And what you're looking at in so many public schools in America is that they're already handing out contraception, the Plan A contraception. And so it's a very easy thing now, especially with over-the-counter sales. You know, the over-the-counter part of this is one of the most bizarre aspects of the whole equation, because you can't buy traditional contraception over-the-counter. You know, if you go in your local pharmacy right now, you walk right, you can buy antihistamines, at least some of them. You can buy, you know, analgesics. You can buy Tylenol. You can buy Claritin, you know, over-the-counter. You can buy all kinds of things like that that you can just walk in and walk out with it. But to the best of my knowledge, I don't know of any state where you can just walk in and get a normal hormone-regulated contraceptive and walk out with it. It requires a doctor's prescription. But not Plan B, and now including 17-year-olds, and clearly a call for younger as well. Beverly raises another issue. You know, when you look at the argument made here, in fact, I cited it in my article. You can find it at the website. When you look at the article that's made here, they'll say that one of the reasons we need to do this is to cut down on the number of abortions. This should lead to a lowered number of abortions. Beverly's right, saying we'll never know, actually, because these abortions that would be caused by Plan B would be sight unseen. You know, no one's able to keep a record of that. But there's another way. Even if you take that off the equation and you just take it off the table, let's bracket that for a moment. You still have another issue, and that is this. Elizabeth Anscombe, philosopher writing years ago, pointed out that every argument to lower abortions almost always has no effect in terms of trying to make reproductive technologies available, trying to make birth control pills available. You know, people say you do that, it'll lower the abortion rate. It turns out that it really doesn't. It's because we live in a Genesis 3 world, and people who are determined to, for instance, have this kind of reproductive control are the very same people who will forget to take a pill, or in a moment of passion will not have the birth control available. And they're the same people who will then say, well, on the other side of this, we'll just have an abortion. You know, by the way, I desperately hope and pray for a reduced number of abortions in America. I long for the day when no one would want to abort a child in the womb. I long for the day when there is such universal understanding and appreciation of the sanctity of human life that no one would think of euthanizing an old person in a nursing home. No one would think of aborting a child because it has Down syndrome. No one would think of aborting a child for any reason whatsoever. But right now we're living in a world in which there are all kinds of people saying they want to reduce abortion. The big issue is, would it actually even happen? The scandal of teenage pregnancy. That's, by the way, one of the big issues you see coverage about this focusing on again and again and again. The scandal of teenage pregnancy. You know what you don't see? You know what is so politically incorrect you can't even utter it? The scandal of teenage sex. I mean, tell you what. If you remove the scandal of teenage sex, you remove the scandal of teenage pregnancy. Of course, the secular left says it's unrealistic to expect that, even wrong to expect that. These are some of the same people who are pushing not only for lower age of availability of over-the-counter contraception, but there are many people who are pushing for a lower age of consent. Ideology matters. Worldview matters. Convictions matter. Moral intuitions matter. This policy matters. We'll be right back. Every once in a while, the media provides us with a counterpoint where we can really understand something of the insanity of what's going on. The Wall Street Journal recently had a cover story. It's on the Friday edition, March 20, 2009. I saved it just because I found it so fascinating. It's a front-page story. Just say no to Smarties. Faux smoking has parents fuming. Okay, here is Diane Searcy reporting for the Wall Street Journal that certain kids, middle schoolers in particular, are grinding up Smarties candies and rolling them into paper and puffing it out as dust, making it look like they're smoking. Okay, my guess is most of you aren't too scandalized, but it says here that parents are fuming and schools are concerned, and it led to a controversy that reached the front page of all things of the Wall Street Journal. By the way, it says here that some supermarkets are even pulling it because they're worried about this. There's the scandal that kids might actually inhale some of the sugar powder And it's a health crisis. And you know what? They're mimicking an unhealthy activity, smoking. Now, last thing I want to do is encourage anyone to smoke. That's not the issue at all. And these kids are basically making fun with this sugar powder by blowing it out. And you've got school districts and supermarkets and all kinds of people upset about it. And it's one of those things that, at the end of the day, has health people saying, I don't think it's a very good idea. One doctor said here that if Smarties are inhaled, it could cause irritation to throats and noses, but are not likely to be life-threatening because eventually they dissolve. I love one pediatrician who said, I still don't think it's a great idea. Well, I'm sure he's absolutely right. But at the end of the day, what does it tell us? They live in a culture where you can have everyone exercised about the fact school systems, supermarkets, parents, a manufacturer trembling at the misuse of its product over kids just crushing some sugar candy and blowing it out of a tube as if they're smoking. Meanwhile, right down the street, 17-year-olds can walk in and buy over-the-counter contraception. And the New York Times says, this is a great thing. It's a great thing that we're overcoming the ideologically driven policies of the previous administration. Folks, ideology is everything. And when it comes down to understanding why people believe as they do and act as they do, and at the end of the day, we're looking at a situation where, without doubt, this is an ideologically driven policy. Now from the FDA, ordered by a federal court judge. Somebody thinks that liberating your 17-year-old to be able to get over-the-counter contraception is a part of the liberation of humanity. It's a part of the new rights culture in this country. It won't stop with 17-year-olds. This is one of those stories that lays bare, just throws open the big issues before us in terms of understanding what life is all about, what it means to be a parent, what it means to be a child, and what it means to understand the gift of sexuality and the gift of reproduction. It's all here in one story. You'll find my website at albertmoeller.com. Sign up to follow on Twitter. Sign up to follow Albert Moeller. Several updates during the day. I'll meet you next time on the Albert Moeller Program.
Thanks for listening, and be sure to visit our website, www.albertmoeller.com. You'll find archives of past shows and other important resources. You can also email your questions and comments. That's www.albertmoeller.com. Be sure to join us next time for the Albert Moeller Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter.